Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show of the Midlands. Appreciate you joining us on this beautiful Saturday here. I'm Gary David, and we're now joined by Michael Dickelson, the co-owner of the Moving Squad. Good morning, my good friend. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, sir. And yourself?
I got no complaints, man. Zero complaints. Taking a boat out on the lake later on today? Who am I to complain, right?
Yeah, it's certainly great weather for moving.
Hey, and speaking of moving, that's what you guys are busy doing. So I always like, every time we chat, especially with what's going on right now in the world, I'm always interested to ask you because, you know, what you guys do is kind of a barometer, kind of a gauge, you know, on what is happening here. Your business never dried up at all during all this, did it?
We slowed down a smidge, but no, sir, not really.
I mean, people just got to do things. They got to get moved. Got to do. I'm curious here, Michael. You know, moving households is one thing, but I know you do a lot of business moving businesses. And I'm just real curious, you know, moving forward, if you've thought about this or had any discussions with people in the industry, you know, about the idea of people telecommuting. You know, we keep seeing all these surveys coming out saying that the people that do have the ability and are working from home are really liking it. And would like to continue it, and I you know, this may be bad news for the commercial real estate sector, at least when it comes to office buildings. You hear any buzz about that?
Well, I can certainly tell you. Earlier this week, I did an estimate for 8,400 square feet office space, and they're going almost 90% to telecommuting, and I'm moving them into a two-room office building. And I mean, going from that type of footprint to another footprint is certainly daunting, but you know, they've gone through the process, and you know, we'll take care of them in a few weeks here. And we actually just did the opposite of for another company this past Tuesday, that we took them from a smaller space to a larger space. So I guess it's really, you know, and that one was in Lexington. So, I mean, it's really, it's all over the gamut. But, yes, I will say, a lot of estimates I've been doing here lately, a lot of calls I've been filling, and certainly, you know, making sure to utilize, you know, every bit of space you got. And if you don't need it, let's just go ahead and let it go. You know, having that, you know, big office space with the big conference room is not necessary anymore. You know, telecommunicating, you've got the shared office spaces where you can go rent a conference room somewhere,
sure, yeah,
you know, for a particular meeting. I know a lot of stuff that we do, you know, we've been Zooming everywhere with being able to communicate with people instead of meeting in person.
Right.
And it just makes it more efficient.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, it saves a lot of time for you guys and easier to work out the schedules if you're doing something like that. Heck, you can talk to a customer on their cell phone via Zoom or Microsoft Teams or whatever, and you know,
I have
to wait to meet him at home. Yeah. Yeah, it's certainly going to change the face of things. It'll be interesting to see how much, especially as we talked about when it comes to, you know, commercial office space. We may be seeing a real evolution and all that because of all this.
I am curious because I certainly, I mean, even with us, I mean, you know, Tim and I have basically made our, we've always been mobile, but we've taken a few more steps to where, you know, my office is wherever I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
I can do all of my functions except print. And honestly, we do so much digital that we really don't print that much anymore anyway.
Sure. Yeah. And another interesting side note to this conversation, Michael, is that of the people that are telecommuting, the surveys are starting to show now that they're actually being more productive, believe it or not. Working from home, I guess you get away from all the, you know, conversations in the hallway and the break room and this and that, and you're able to better focus on what you're doing. So yeah, there's certainly some interesting stuff coming out of all this. But now, so while your business has carried on through all of this, as you look ahead now, I mean, heck, we're closing it on June now, and we'll be there in just a couple of weeks. This is, are you seeing things start to ramp up here? What's your take?
Yeah, I mean, I will say, you know, June's 2/3 book right now. We've got about 1/3 of July books. So, you know, we're certainly excited about the future. But, you know, with that being said, I would say anybody looking to move or looking to use moving services, you're going to want to start your search, you know, now. You don't want to wait. Even if you don't have a date, if you've got, you know, a week or two time frame that you can kind of narrow in on. You need to start interviewing your companies now. You know, don't just get quotes or estimates. You need to interview your company.
What sorts of things?
You know, the same as when you chose your real estate agent. You just didn't, you know, talk to the first one and say, hey, you're great. No, you want to interview them, find out what sets them apart, what makes them special.
You know, yeah, I was going to ask you, what sorts of questions should you be asking?
Well, some of the, I guess, generics. You know, do you own your equipment? Do you have the right insurances in place? Do you have workers' comp? You know, are you licensed? What type of labor do you use? Are they full-time? Are they part-time? Are these just guys you go round up every morning? You know, are the guys in uniform when they come? You know, I got a call the other day, was asking if moving blankets came on my, you know, were part of my moving. And I was like, well, any moving company is going to come with moving blankets. So if you have to provide your own moving blankets, that should be a red flag from the beginning right there.
Yeah.
You know, because the only time you should supply your own blankets is when you were doing your own move and you're just using me for labor.
Okay. Right.
Outside of that, you know, if your items come on my truck, I use, you know, my pads, my straps, my cargo control, you know, bungee cords, you know, our experience of being able to take care of it correctly. And I guess kind of piggyback on that is if you have something that you want to move and it's important to you, then it should be treated correctly. You know, your electronics should be in good styrofoam padded boxes. You know, your TV should be in your clamshells. Your sentimental or high retail artwork should be in an artwork clamshell box.
Are those the sorts, you know, sorts of things that if you get a call from a potential customer and you chat about those sorts of items, and I'm sure you have that on every phone call you have, a conversation, or you go over and, you know, check out the home that you're moving, those things you just mentioned, those sorts of cases, protection things, these are all things that you supply, or is this something that the customer needs to go out and get?
I do supply them, or the customer can get them on their own if they, you know, might have an inroad somewhere to where they might be able to get them for a little better price. But, you know, you have to, and I will say with a lot of those boxes these days, they stopped selling the foam corners inside the box. You have to buy the foam corners separate of the box, not just the box.
Really? Okay.
But you got to, and then if you have an odd size one, then you got to make a box. And those aren't difficult to make. I mean, we make them all the time for odd size shapes.
Hmm.
But, you know, and then, I just can't infer enough. When you buy your TV, do not throw that box away. Throw up in the attic, put it in the corner, do something with it, because you will need it again unless you are in your forever home. Mm-hmm. But then when your forever home stops becoming your ever home, whoever moves it's going to need that box then. So you're always going to need that box.
Mm-hmm. You guys do a lot of out-of-state jobs, which I don't know if it surprises people or not that a local moving company here would be doing a lot of, you know, intrastate, well, I get interstate kind of work. I always get those two confused.
Yes.
When it comes to packing, loading trucks and that sort of thing, are there any differences or any extra steps you have to take if you're taking a move, you know, across country as opposed to across town?
I will say yes, sir, 100%. You do have to load the truck completely opposite of the way you would load it for an in-town move.
Really?
You know, because the in-town move, as far as, you know, talking about road vibration, you know, the potential for potholes, you know, your load shifting, you know, having to do any type of emergency braking or anything like that just because of traffic around you. You know, when you're in town, very few of those things are going to happen. So you can pad, you know, get in there reasonably tight, but you don't have to take those extra steps. When you're, say, anywhere over 100 miles, you have to pack that truck correctly or you're going to have, you know, rubs, you know, stuff's going to, you know, the load's going to shift, stuff's going to fall, stuff's going to break, and if you're not going to do it right, it's just not worth doing it at all.
Yeah, true.
Well, then you should have just sold your furniture and taken the money and gone to a new place and bought new furniture.
Lots of new stuff, yeah. Now, since you bring this up about the proper packing, let's talk about some of the DIY tips we have for people that want to move themselves. Are there plenty of trucks out there right now?
No, there's not.
Really?
You know, you would think kind of where we're at, but trucks are still getting rented every day and, you know, of course, the rental people, they're going to shift their equipment around. But, you know, for the Midlands, you know, the equipment is not as plentiful as it usually is.
Why is that?
And, you know, the Thursday through Sunday, mm-hmm. you know, if you ride by those yards, they're they're nowhere near as beefed up as they used to be.
So people are out there moving stuff around.
Yeah, if you reserve a truck, make sure to stay on top of your reservation. Make sure that it's, you know, you're checking at least 2 to 3 days ahead of time that your equipment's going to be there. You know, your pickup time, if you have a reservation number, something of that nature, always stay on top of that. I've had several times where we've come and to provide a labor-only move, and their equipment wasn't ready, or they had to ship a truck around, and they're going to be another hour or two behind. You know, so I'll then send my crew to go do another job and then come back to them, which then moves back their start time for driving and just throws a wrench in everything.
I'll tell you, last year, that was a tip that you gave me when we were doing a little self-move thing for my kids. And there's kind of a difference, and I don't want to call out names here, but you know, if you go to one of these rental companies and it's like the, for lack of a better term, the corporate office, the local corporate office place, it seems to me like you get a lot better. You can rely a little more that that truck's going to be there, as opposed to going to, you know, one of these mom and pop's places, just happens to have some trucks on their yard, kind of a satellite office, not an official, you know, rental place here. Because I almost got burned by that. I would have had you not told me what you just told everybody else just a few minutes ago, to, you know, check ahead a couple days ahead. Because that happened to us. I checked ahead, like you said, a couple days ahead. And said, oh, well, yeah, that truck won't be here. And I was dumbfounded by that.
And I will say, as far as through all the rental agencies, there's only 4 main yards throughout all the companies in Columbia. And when I need a truck, I go to one of those 4.
Okay.
So not to put names out, but.
Right. You know, well, yeah.
I don't want to push one over the other, but another thing, you know, outside of the truck, you still need to have your furniture pads. You know, a customer can use their old blankets and old comforters, but I always say count your wood items and then double that number. And that's how many pads you need for your move.
Okay.
And then of course you have cargo control, ratchet straps, bungee cords, your tie straps, as far as just making sure everything stays in place, you know, always pad your glass to the inside.
So
all those kind of things that just,
in what order, if you're doing your own move here, Michael, in what order should you load that truck? Heaviest stuff first, heaviest stuff last? What you want to get in and out first or last, or what's your best advice?
Well, it's not necessarily about heavy. We refer to it as base, and those are items that you can stack up on top of. That's what goes in first. And then, of course, you have to take finishes into play now, too. You know, if you have an antique finish, you can't put anything of weight on top of that. So you would consider that a base item. But most of your base items are going to be your dressers, you know, your tall boys, the bottom piece to a china cabinet, a two-piece china cabinet. You can take the bottom piece in.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we do what it was referred to as tiering, where you run your base in, then you run boxes, then you tier, then you run base in, then you run boxes, then you tier, and you basically make the truck into 4 to 5 sections, depending on exactly what you have to load into the truck. And then that way you can tie off each section. Mattresses are a good thing to use to tie off, you know, sections with, box springs are.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Basically it's a good old Tetris game. You know, you got to fill every inch in. Any gap you leave that you don't, you know, put a blanket in there to make it tight, is going to be a potential rub. It's just like packing your kitchen. When you put your glassware into that box has to be tight completely around. There's no gaps in there. You use packing paper to stuff into the gaps to make it tight, because that way nothing's going to move.
Right.
You don't have to worry about your road vibration or our glorious potholes that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Everything gets there the way it's supposed to.
When it comes to tying things down, you put that strap across the truck. Do you need to do this every 5 feet, 10 feet, or just one at the very back of the truck? Or what's your best advice for that?
Well, you will use ratchet straps inside your tier as you need to, and your bungee cords, but you do use ratchet straps every tier as well. So
Okay. Your
typical 26 footer, you're going to need about probably 15 ratchet straps. And that way you can section the truck off, you know, accordingly to make sure everything stays where it's supposed to. So depending on the way you're stacking, between 3 to 5 feet.
Okay. All right. Of course, I mean, you guys are experts. You do this every day. But, I mean, what if you come across, what are the biggest mistakes that do-it-yourselfers do when they load a truck?
It is the angle of the glass.
How should it
be? You know, when you've got your glass fronts, you know, be it your china cabinets, your curio cabinets, your entertainment centers.
Right.
They think that putting that towards the bulkhead protects it. And that's the worst thing you can do with glass is put it towards the bulkhead. You got to put it towards the inside. And then you've got to kind of build a barrier around that glass using your boxes or any of your soft items to where the glass is protected. And then if that can't protect it, then you need to double pad, triple pad, run a layer of cardboard across it. Also, if you're dealing with bubble glass, you've got to go about three more steps on protecting that because bubble glass is so fragile. And if you do crack one, it's not an easy thing to replace.
Okay. Good stuff as always, my friend Michael Nicholson. It's the Moving Squad. You see them all over town, all over the state, and really all across the country these days, for that matter. Folks have questions about some of the tips you just shared with us, or they want to hire for a move. How do they get a hold of you, sir?
The best way to get us is 803-915-SQUAD. That's 7782. Of course, the website, movingsquadscforsouthcarolina.com. And as always, our PSCORS number, which you can look us up on any of the sites, is 9859. And just for an extra, our USDOT is 3244919.
All right. They got all the numbers in right there. All right, Michael, thank you, buddy. Appreciate your time. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Have a good weekend, man.
Thank you, Gary. God bless.